It's the Two Smokes Podcast with your hosts, Thundersnow and the Wiggle Rat.
Hi, and welcome back to the Two Smokes Podcast. With this season, we want to talk about you and how you're okay. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and damn it, people like you. A woman will never touch your penis, and that's okay, because you are a humble, timid little bitch who is probably better left just licking your mother's apron strings and staring into your own shoes. But that's okay. There is a place for you in this world. There's plenty of soy-based products. You can learn how to milk an almond. You can go ahead and you can learn to lift your foot.
I'm sorry. I tried.
This is really the part where you tried. Come in, you asshole.
I couldn't. By the time you got to the Stuart Smiley bit, I was fucking shocked. Oh, Christ. That was a little too effective.
All right, let's try this the right fucking way. Hi, welcome back to the Two Smokes Podcast. I am the Wiggle Rat, and across from me is Thundersnow. And you know what we're sick of? We're sick of fucking people thinking that... One, or most importantly, that the only true good you could do in this world is something altruistic. You must give something of yourself to someone else with absolutely no regard and no expectation of compensation or remuneration.
Well, but that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Well, that's fundamentally kind of the definition of altruism. But what we're seeing is how it's starting to have, now that we've been doing this for about a generation or so, we're starting to see that it has damaging effects.
Well, and it does. So, you know, we spent all last season kind of going down, I wouldn't say deep dives. We're not terribly deep.
No, but they were very broad dives.
We dove for broads. That seems fitting. That's, the, you know, retroactive tagline for season five.
We dove for broads.
And if you're out there and you're listening and you're broad, come on by. We'll dive on you.
Well,
one at a time, though. Yeah. We're civilized. We're civilized.
It'll be in rapid succession, but we will do it one at a time.
There will be a measurable gap. we like to call it the wet wipe time span. Tidy up. Next.
We'll tag in and out, but you will get a neutral corner where you can go and talk to your trainer. You can go ahead and swish your mouth out and spit because you're going to want to do that.
Oh shit!
I missed this. Put that rude Vaseline on any of your wounds.
Oh, okay. You got a cut, man, in your corner. I'm seeing two of them, Mick. Well, that's because there's two of them there.
I can concentrate to keep ringing that bell.
New world's record for derail. We derailed before we got through the intro.
Yeah, we're not even 3 minutes in.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Two Smokes Podcast.
So, but no, last season what we did is, you know, we did that season and, you know, there were some derails and some skids and some, you know, completely unrelated episodes.
Well, sometime you just got to feed a little speed to your ride every now and then.
Pop the fluey to me, Louie. we did it on epistemology and trying to get down to the nuts and bolts, not just of what we know per se, but how we know it. And where does that information come from, and how do we process that? How do we make something intelligent out of it and be able to use it to kind of look forward? And we wanted to do something a little different this season.
Well, and one of the episodes that we did last season had to do with, you know, what are people doing with all of this pandemic time, right? During this quarantine, and the question so eloquently posed by the Rat is, you know, where's the next great American novel? Where is the new film? Where is the new art of any kind that's spitting out of this, right? Suddenly people had all this time. And so that's kind of what the thought for season six is, right? We're calling this the season of the self. We want to focus on kind of just sit down and as you may have guessed from the intro that I could not hold my laughter through, we want to talk about you, and we want to talk to you about where you're bad, where you're good, and why you're failing, and why you desperately feel the need for someone else to tell you how to fix that. So this idea had kind of been going through my head over the last few months. We took our normal hiatus. I want to say it was about the same, right around 3 months. is usually about how long we take off. And during that time, I came to the realization that the quarantine had basically turned me into a fat fuck, which not really a surprise to anybody who knows me, because I was pretty goddamn fat fuck before the pandemic started. But, you know, I actually started taking the time to work on me, and not work on me by literally meaning going, picking up heavy shit, moving heavy shit, picking up, putting it down.
Going to the gravity rental shop.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you have heavy weights here? I would like to move them.
I'd love to tell you that I sat down and had these deep introspective thinking sessions about what makes me me and all of this stuff. But everybody, if you've ever heard the show even once, you know that I'm not capable of that. So, you know, spending that summer break just kind of working on myself a little bit got me to realize, you know, I started looking at all of the things that are available to people, right? You know, so I'm trying to lose weight, trying to get strong, right? So, of course, being of this time and age, what does one do when one has a question about something? Run to the Google Box.
Good call.
The Google Box will tell you everything you need to know, right? Well, the Google Box, as we've known for a good long time, is pretty much driven by money.
Yes.
And if there is any industry that's more powerful than the social media industry, as far as owning those search terms, the self-help industry has got that locked down.
Oh, yeah.
You know, from the guy who's literally sitting at home with a YouTube channel and absolutely no credentials but plenty of time, all the way up to the Dale Carnegie School and the Stephen Covey cult and all of these. I mean, you take it. Anything in between, you know, the moms groups on Facebook and all of this stuff. So the intent here is to try to spend this season kind of dissecting that. And when I brought this kind of this theme up to the rat, his eyes turned redder than usual.
And it wasn't the alcohol.
And he went off onto a What Grinds My Gear segment, sitting in a barbecue restaurant with me, on this idea of toxic altruism, which I would like you very much to describe to the good folks.
Well, the idea being that we're living in a time now where we've had an entire generation come up, and we have really sold them on this idea that altruism is not just good, it's the only good. And that's really kind of the big problem. I mean, it's not a new idea. Hell, even going back, you know, to mark things in nerd age, right? You know, the original D&D, right? If you were doing something good, you were doing it for the benefit of others. And that still influences the alignment system today.
Live together, die alone.
Well, and that was kind of the thing, right? And no. If you were greedy, if you wanted your cut, and that made you greedy,
right?
You were obviously lawful evil or chaotic evil or something like that. If you killed something, well, somewhat indiscriminately, even though that wasn't a particularly sentient organism and it was kind of violent to begin with,
you whacked the brown mold.
Yeah, exactly. You killed that ochre jelly. Pretty sure it wasn't going to fucking meet up with ochre peanut butter, so I don't
I
think I really cut its life fucking short. It
was fresh out of bread.
But no, then that, and on the non-show Twitter, on my personal Twitter, I did, I had a tweet go, let's say, tiny viral, right? And what it was it was a bunch of Jordan Peterson fans. And so I went and I started kind of looking a little deeper into Jordan Peterson's work. And I get it. Canadian dude, a Canadian psychologist, you are fucking people.
Yeah, my people. Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a book to sell, right? And what he's selling is he's essentially selling self-help to not just incels, but people in their 20s and 30s, normally their later 20s and 30s, who are just kind of adrift.
Right.
When I tell you this guy is telling people advice like clean your room.
Right.
This is a literal and direct quote.
These are the folks that read Atlas Shrugged and didn't get it. Taco hates that joke. He really takes offense at that joke. We don't do this often. We don't crack each other up often, but it's been 3 months. We haven't had much time.
But no, while you're bullshitting, you know, there is still a certain part of us that still aspires at least to that vague idea of self-independence, self-reliance, and self-success.
Right.
Right, because the running joke is that Iron Maiden, or not Iron Maiden, Iron Man is Iron Man is just it's just Atlas Shrugged for nerds.
Right.
Or for geeks, I should say. And the same way, you know, Batman is, I don't know, TJ Hooker for nerds or something like that. But someone who, through their, you know, let's get past the no ethical billionaires talk, but these people who literally take, you know, world peace, world safety, or even the safety of their personal neighborhoods and their crimes, take it upon themselves, because let's face it, they're rich, they don't fucking have to.
Right.
But they take it upon themselves and go, you know what, I'm going to make the world a better place. But I'm going to do it by first improving myself.
Right.
You know, going and studying with Raja Ghul or building your Iron Man suit and arc reactor or whatever.
Right.
So that's a very interesting and subtle kind of perspective on it.
Sure, sure. And so the two of those ideas combined have kind of led us to this, like I said, we're calling the season of the self. And using my, what is your term, my flaccid science
background? And it is very flaccid. Make no mistake, folks.
We will attempt to define and impress upon you the two smokes dimensions of self-care. Now, some of this is going to sound very touchy-feely. However, comma, if you've listened to us before, you know it won't be. If you've never listened to us before, hit back, pause for a minute, go click on literally any episode. Listen to it for 5 minutes, and then you can judge whether you think you're going to get a lot of touchy-feely out of this pair. But no, the idea is, in our normal show format, right, we're going to introduce a topic, we're going to define that topic, we're going to point out, you know, some idiosyncrasies of the current state of it.
Right.
And then we will go and posit where we think that this is going to go in the future. And whether that be good or bad. I won't lie, we normally focus on the bad because, let's face it, there's just more fun to be had on how things can go poorly as how they are if they can go well. So that will kind of, you know, shape the season. There will be the derail episodes. This season is also going to span the Summer Olympics, which has got me at least semi-hard with the idea of the return of the Two Smokes Olympics. It's been 4 years, or actually it's been 5 years now. So the Two Smokes Olympics is definitely in the future. It's happening in Japan, which also brings a new dimension to the Two Smokes Olympics. So,
dude, I'm sorry. International Godwin's Law Judo was still one of my favorite jokes we've ever done on
exactly.
This show.
And if, for those of you that have been listening for the long haul, if you recall the Two Smokes Olympics episode, you will realize that there is all sorts of capacity there. So you feel free to send us your idea for new events. I mean, just literally the last 12 months worth of American history is rife. Couple that with the fact that this is happening in Tokyo and nothing is off limits. I mean, we can really, really play with that. So we'll be introducing some of those topics, right? Some of them will be as simple as make your bed, which of course is not, it's not a new idea, right? You can go all the way back to the meditations of Marcus Aurelius to find the original content of, hey, you know what? You want to feel like you started the day with a fucking win? Make your bed. Generals, you know, coaches, I mean, literally, you can find that reference just about anywhere. We'll try to go a little deeper than that, but, you know, we'll explore kind of the root of this. Where did this whole idea come from that the best way to learn about yourself
is to try to help others?
Well, it is to try to help others. And certainly you can discover some things about yourself when trying to help others, right? The simple act of I'm going to go help build a house for a family that needs a house. Not without merit. We're not coming to this saying you're all a bunch of idiots. We're coming to this with, as usual, some of y'all have taken this shit a little too literally. You've amped it up, you've thrown it in your internet echo chamber, and you've turned it into a movement.
And more importantly, it's not just a movement, it's its own cottage industry, and not a small one.
Not a small one at all. So really the idea here springs from this idea of serving the community, right? So what, the Bible, pre-Bible? I'm certain we could go find a reference to this idea.
The altruism of Jesus is legendary. You know, he gives all those people tuna sandwiches. You know, he goes and he fucking turns the water into wine.
Turns all the sandals into Air Force Ones.
Dude, I'm totally waiting on Tyler Perry's reboot of the New Testament.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Medea goes to Bible camp.
I want to know how
Medea apocalypse.
Medea's walking on water and the fish still flinch.
There's a Mad Dog 2020 joke in there waiting to come out. But but no, we're going to explore these things. And you know, normally the first show of the season is kind of closing the book on the last season, giving an idea of what we're going to be talking about in the upcoming season, and then just kind of giving any new listeners, I'm just going to apologize in advance, any new listeners kind of an idea of the overall mission statement here for the Two Smokes podcast, which from my standpoint is to tell as many dick and fart jokes as possible, insert at least one episode per season about fetish or just really bad sexual acts. And then occasionally poke fun at anything that the man across from me is saying. His agenda is a little different.
Whereas I'm trying to show you two things. Two people can disagree on something and still get along. And you know what? If I have the opportunity to give you some reasonably well-researched information that you can then take out and go educate yourself, you know, and go deep dive something, then I am all about it. And I, what are you impact testing over there?
Your alarm clock.
Oh, fuck that alarm clock. Use that. The only reason that alarm clock's there is because it's got a USB charger on it.
Nice. Okay, well, that probably doesn't work anymore. So, but my soda is resting peacefully.
But no, as always, we're not trying to tell you what to think. We're not trying to tell you how to think. We're just trying to get you to think and to get you to think so that you can go out there and you can have reasonable, rational, informed discussions with other people, regardless of what you think. Because you know what? If you're an idiot and you go out in the world and you tell people what you think, that's a great warning flag to the rest of us who actually understand what things are going on.
Self-identification is appreciated.
Right. So if you come up to me at, say, pub and you go, you know, Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, they have some really great ideas. Oh, you're an idiot.
Yes.
Thank you.
So now I'm going to explain in very small words why I'm hitting you in the face with the nearest object. First of all, never introduce yourself to new people anywhere by suggesting something that you think is brilliant, because that's a gamble. You're just not going to win.
No, I suggest you do. Like I said, it is a warning unto others. And you know what? The people who do agree with you, you'll find them immediately.
You'll find them because you'll all have been exiled to the same place.
Doesn't matter. There's a table at Backup Pub, too. You go sit over there.
You go sit at the reject table.
Shun, shun, shun.
Not one of us. But no, you know, so in the name of pulling back kind of this whole toxic altruism idea, there's a cult of personality, and we've gone over it in just about every season that we've had. But one of the issues that comes up here is simply the amount of time that people are spending, right? There's not, I mean, in this today, literally today, there are McDonald's that are offering $50 cash for people that will come in and interview.
Yeah.
So when we talk about there's a lot of free time, we've kind of gone beyond the bounds of, well, you know, kids get out of school and there's no job for them. They don't need to go to work.
Right. Or they can't go to work because grown-ups need those jobs these days.
Well, yeah, but now not even the grown-ups are taking the jobs, right? So now it's kind of an interesting thing, right? If you're an enterprising young person, you probably get you two jobs real easy.
Well, that market is still leveling out because half of them are waiting on $15 minimum wage.
Right, well, and the other half are still burning the extra $300 worth of unemployment.
Yeah, and somewhere in the middle are just the kids just working that part-time job for all the weed.
Right. Well, hey, someone's got to have all the weed.
Someone's got to have all the
weed. If they don't have it, where do I buy my weed? Damn it, I'm too old to go out looking for a dealer.
But, no, we have to, let's start back a little bit earlier, right? Because we all get this, you know, whole, what would Jesus do and what does lawful good or chaotic good or neutral good mean? And this driving concept of altruism. And for about the entirety of the millennial life, right, because boomers are 45 to 65, Gen X is 65 to 85, and the millennials are 85 to 2005, right? That's the definition we've been using. That's the definition
we're going to use. Fair enough. We'll stick with it.
Okay. So what we have is we have those people, you know, starting to get into their 30s now. And for their whole life, they have been taught this toxic level of altruism, that the only way that you can do good is by giving of yourself without any expectation. This starts when they're kids and they're in their extracurricular activities. And it's not enough that they play their fucking French horn, if that's even still a thing.
Right. Oh, I guarantee you it is.
Is it a sousaphone now?
But well, it may not be a French horn anymore because you may be assuming it's you may be assuming its nationality, and we don't assume things about people.
Yeah, let me not misjudge.
It's a horn who hasn't decided what it identifies as nationally.
I'm not saying I'm misgendering that horn, but you're the one blowing it. I'm not dodging any dad jokes, folks.
This yeah, we need the whole I got to bring the soundboard back over so I can get the drum hits there.
But no, it's so it's not enough that they play football or they play the tuba or they do art for their art right. class. They've also got to get out there and become these tiny fucking Amway.
Yeah, people. Here, take this crate of chocolate bars and hustle your ass out there.
Yeah, no, go out there and sell these chocolate bars. Sell fucking wrapping paper. Who the fuck buys wrapping paper like this?
Yeah. Well, my favorite is that whatever this company is that has decided its mission in life is to help underprivileged youth inner city basketball teams by selling magazines.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, all of these youth basketball team members look like they're about 27 years old.
And that's what we call a hustle.
And obviously they haven't been educated well, because that no soliciting sign, just it's beyond them. They cannot get that many syllables out.
Yeah, it's not helping.
What does that say? It says no soliciting. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to sell you some goddamn magazine.
Solicit? I never even touched that woman. So we start them there, right? And then as they come up, you know, we continue to put this pressure on them, even to the point where whenever it's time to get into college,
right
on your entrance, paper, you know, on your college submission, well, what have you done for community service?
You know, you've got perfect grades, you were in all the right clubs, but, you know, I'm looking at this and I can't help but notice that you really didn't do anything in the community, because I was in the clubs and studying for the perfect fucking grades.
Oh, I'm sorry, but, you know, there's nothing on, you know, we have this other girl over here and she spends her summers de-lousing hobos right. in Central Park. Yeah, she's stupid.
Right.
You're not going to get all the lice out of the fucking hobos, and you're probably going to pick up syphilis while you're there.
Right.
If you can get it from a koala, you can damn sure get it from a hobo.
Yeah, that's right up there with picking up all the stray cats and neutering them, because that's working so well. I haven't seen a cat in ages.
All you're going to do is piss off the cat. And the cat's like, what did I do to you?
Exactly.
You cut my balls off.
I was sitting there minding my own business.
Oh, shit. There I was.
Bitch, come up. She had a bowl of food. I was like, yo, baby. The next thing I know, I'm coming out of the gas, and there's a pain down below.
I'm coming out of the gas. The ether bunny stole my balls. But no, and then it continues on, even through college. You know, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You know, are you working at the battered woman's shelter? You know, are you working at the rape shelter? Are you working at the homeless shelter? Are you being right. a big
Have you put in time
sister?
On the phone banks? Have you? Yeah. Are you out on the quad handing out leaflets?
And again, this is also where the political aspect often comes into
Right, yeah, that's where the indoctrination starts, yeah.
Well, if you believe in this, why aren't you marching for it? We're having a rally down at the student center or whatever. Why aren't you there?
Right. Well, you're obviously not for vegans' rights, because I didn't see you at the latest get-together. We got together and we burned McDonald's wrappers. Wait, where did you get all the McDonald's wrappers? Don't worry about it.
We bought 700 Big Macs. Yeah, I'm sure.
Did
McDonald's.
You? You bought 700 big. We threw them away. Where'd you throw them away at? As a matter of fact, you're looking pretty spry for a vegan. You look like you're flush with protein, you lion sack.
But no, even then, even after they go through college, after they've done all this, you know, unrewarded, unpaid, un-anything, you know, even after they graduate college, wouldn't you like to be an intern? Well, what does it pay? Well, nothing.
Experience.
Experience.
And you're like, well, you know, it's a little bit of a tit for tat, right? I'm going to go ahead and go along with this because that's going to get me in good with this company, right? And then I'll just roll right into a job. And even if you're lucky enough that you roll into the job, the minute you get the job, you're going to go to HR. They're going to tell you about all your benefits, all your everything. You're going to go to your boss. Your boss is going to tell you what your job is. You're going to be like, this is great. I'm sitting on cloud nine. And then come September, the CEO is going to roll in, walk up next to your desk and ask you if you've heard about how he's the chair of the local Red Cross or the local Salvation Army or the local United Way. And that fucker is going to shake you down.
Well, you know, we here at the company, you know, we give the United Way every year and we all have to do our part.
Got a ding every friggin' year I was with Big Blue. Every year. It was expected. Mm-hmm. At this level, it's expected that you... sorry.
Yeah. How about you realign your expectations?
Conscientious objector. Oh, what's that? Oh, sorry. I can't get better than a 3 on my company spirit and whatever that fucking metric was.
Yeah, I'll eat that.
Yeah. Blow me. I'll keep the 10 grand. Fuck off.
10 grand, that's worth that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's no way I was going to get 10 grand in a raise anyway.
Let's face it, dude. For you know me. For 10 grand, a random stranger can kick me in the nuts. I mean, it's got to be cash. I'm not taking a check off some random show. I know how that shit works.
Dude, I swear to God, if I come up with 10 grand in Burger King fucking coupons, you are so done.
Dude, I will take 10... No, dude, I can't eat all that Burger King.
You know, I just got into shape.
Dude, I eat out once a fucking week. You know, that would take me... I don't have enough years left in my life to get through 10 grand worth of Burger King. Now, a year ago, I'd have got through that in about 4 months. No, honey, no, don't buy any of that. I'm just going to cruise by Burger King. It's all good.
Send me more onion rings. Hold the onions. Yeah. I just want the fried shit on the outside. I almost felt my blood move, and I can't have that. Yeah, no,
we got to show this goddamn circulatory system who's boss.
Until my armpits stink like French fries when I sweat, I'm not stopping.
I'll be the hero of the B team over at the Burger King, dude. They'd see my ass coming, yeah.
Fucking A. But no, so we get this, and we have these kids, and then what's crazy is after they do get jobs, right, paying jobs, let's say they make it through the whole internship program, what you end up having is you end up having kids who have literally dedicated their lives to helping other people but haven't really taken the time to be introspective. To think about what their life means, because as we know, the meaning, and let's face it, we're all grown up enough, we can have this discussion. The meaning of our lives is something that we ascribe to it. For some of us, it's finding a nice woman, having a few kids, settling down, home, family, done.
Right.
For some people, it is the turbocharged, fast track, I am king of the mountain, rat race career.
Extreme!
For other people, it's, you know, it's something else. No, I just want to create. I just want to do my job, come home, and satisfy myself in some other way. Maybe right. I draw, maybe I paint, maybe I'm a musician. Yeah. You know, maybe I'm fucking Lord of the Dance or the King of Magic the Gathering. Who cares?
I want enough gas to get a cooler of beer and or enough money to get a cooler beer and gas for my boat on Saturday.
And
after that, the rest can fuck off.
Well, and there are people, there are plenty. I don't necessarily recommend this path, but I've met plenty of people over the course of my life that I'm not really what I do for a living. That's just something I do for a living. That's just something I do for money. And that's okay, man. Because if you go and you're an accountant, just hypothetically, or a plumber or whatever, but the place where you find your zen is when you go and for that 2 weeks, you go get shit-faced drunk and go sit in a deer blind waiting on Bambi to poke its fucking head
right.
up so you can blow its brains out. Dude, good on you. At least you know what your life's about.
Right. Yeah, at least you got it figured out. Others may look at it from outside and go, okay, that's sad, but fuck them anyway.
Some of you, and I may resemble this remark, may watch movies over and over again trying to decode them and decipher them and see the imagery and symbolism and metaphor in there. And because I've got to be honest with you, I'm that guy, but I derive a lot of value from that.
Right.
And it's why I watch shit over and over again. Or some people may want to be great chefs, or, you know, they may want to go, you know, drink three glasses of wine and flirt with the painting instructor down at, what is it, Twisted, whatever.
Oh, the drunk painting place.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but yeah, that place was fun.
Some people our age, and I look forward to actually doing that at least once this season, they want to go and they want to travel. They want to see the world because they think that that experience validates and improves them.
Oh, dude. Well, yeah, we got to do another trip.
I'm thinking Detroit.
Ooh, I don't know, dude. A dude got his porch stolen overnight in Detroit this week.
And see, whereas you, that might make you a little timid. For me,
it doesn't make me timid. I'm just wondering what fun we're going to find. Yeah,
I respect the effort and the engineering, and I want to see that happen.
Hey, you know what? It was a wood porch. Had that been concrete steps or something, I'd give him props. but an asshole with electric drill can do that in 20 minutes. But no, so these kids, right? They've
you heard the man, folks. We're coming back from Detroit with a U-Haul full of free porches.
Goddamn right. Dude, well, at least we'll leave your porches filled with Two Smoke stickers.
And you know what? I think if we can get the doctors who do like sprained ankles and broke legs, if we can get them to subsidize us, we can rent two U-Hauls. Because let's face it, when those people come out the front door, they fall in the bus and say, hey, somebody's going to get paid.
Dude, yes. We could be.
All I'm saying is I want my cut. I did this work.
We can, and we know exactly where to go because we just follow the ambulance chasing lawyers. It's a business plan. It writes itself. No, but so now you've got kids that are in their middle 20s.
Or 30s.
They have worked their entire lives to get where they are.
For free. Other people.
And the only thing that they've learned is that hard work and selfless dedication to people that aren't them is what will get them ahead. So they don't know if they want to get drunk and listen to Jimmy Buffett all weekend. They don't know if they want to go whittle wood in their garage and make furniture.
Again, neither one of which is a particularly noble goal. But knowing yourself well enough to go, you know what? I enjoy the fuck out of that.
Sure. And certainly, there would be some small bit of masochist fucking kids that have discovered that to their amazement, the thing that they have done to serve the community for the last 10 years of their life is exactly the thing they were born to do. However, with no experience to compare it to, one would argue it's just kind of the Stockholm Syndrome of hobbies, right? There's a whole Tom Segura bit and say, oh yeah, so what's your hobby? I go home after work and I watch TV. Well, that's not really a hobby. Well, why? What makes that any less a hobby than going home and doing whatever it is you do?
I love the smells of hobos in the morning. It smells like victory.
It smells exactly like victory. So now those people, right, with no idea of what it takes to make themselves happy, or the false belief that what they're doing makes them happy, they have no incentive to change that.
Well, and that's
if anything, they're going to have the withdrawal problem, right? I'm not getting enough to sustain me, right? I need more of this thing that I've been doing. It's not enough to go to the soup kitchen on Saturday.
Right.
I've got to go to the soup kitchen every day. It's not enough to go to the soup kitchen every day. I've got to go find other people to go to the soup kitchen every day. It's not enough to do that. I've got to berate people who don't.
All my friends must be soup kitchen workers because, goddammit, we're doing our part. We're giving until it hurts.
I feed 100 people a day. What are you doing?
I'm going to watch the new King Kong versus
Godzilla. Yeah, I'm feeding my family, and I got a little extra money this week, so I'm going to buy that new PlayStation 5 game and blow some shit away for a couple hours and pretend that my life doesn't suck.
My life doesn't suck.
Thanks for asking.
My life doesn't suck. My life matters. Paul the Penis Pirate, who's the hobo on 3rd and 82nd Street, loves me, and he comes to eat my soup every day. Doesn't love you, he's still a penis pirate.
And beyond the bitch with the soup, he has no idea who you are.
Who you are.
And if he actually is referred to you by name, it's because he heard someone say your name and figured he could get an extra roll.
It sounded better than, hey, soup bitch.
And by the way, he hates split pea soup, but he's hungry. So not only does he not know you, he doesn't really like you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, he holds it against you personally with his split pea soup day because it's not fucking vegetable beef.
When he's in that grate down by the subway drain and in the middle of the night and he farts and smells the soup, He blames you. He curses your name, buried in papers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because somehow all the guys on Skid Row sleep next to a grate by the subway and reek of split pea soup.
'80s movies about New York taught us that.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure Sebastian Bach told me something about that. Or maybe it was Pearl Jam. One of them was something. I don't know.
I don't think it was Sebastian Bach, because he woke up to the sound of pouring rain, and I don't think anybody...
He was never the same after that, yeah. He remembered her, but nothing else.
But no.
That's right. Come back. Come for the scathing commentary. Stay for the 80s pop culture references.
But no, what we get is now we've got these 30-year-old people who have dedicated their life to this, and now all of a sudden they're turning to people like Jordan Peterson to get what we would consider to be like middle school guidance counselor level life tips.
So keep in mind that right around the early 80s, it was a burgeoning business to have folks that were, let's call them hookup artists for the sake of bridging the generational gap, right? These people would come in and they would give you some pointers on how to meet people of the opposite sex.
Oh, yeah.
That turned into online dating services. Before it turned into actual go into a place and flip through a book. Remember they had the VHS tapes? And
yeah, Great Expectations. Yeah, you go in there and you...
Great Expectations. Hi, I'm Tony. I'm a stockbroker. I like long walks on the beach and pina coladas in the rain. I don't know where I lost the fucking thread of it. But either way, it was sad.
Hi, I'm Marvin and I have 3 cats and I like to do audits in my spare time.
Okay, Marvin, you know what? Maybe don't open with that.
Yeah.
Because there's always the guy.
Marvin's middle name is Hard Pass.
Marvin's middle name is Masturbates Alone.
Long before the term was coined, Marvin was known as Death Grip. To get an erection, Marvin needs a 2x4 and a sledgehammer. But no, so you know, as that has gone along, right, there were always people that were looking for ways to up their game, right? Whether it be seeking relationships, whether it be bedding as many folks as they could bed, whether it was getting a good job, whatever. There's always been people that are looking for an edge. So there's always going to be a market for someone to tell them shit, right? But somewhere around the late 90s, there was a shift. Right, the self-help industry has existed since about the 1930s.
Oh, easily.
The first actual reference to the self occurred back in the pre-Enlightenment.
Right.
Right. The Greeks and the Romans were throwing this shit around. They never even really referred to it as the self, right? Because there were a couple different schools of thought. But so I mean, it's been around forever, but. The self-help industry in 2006 was valued at $9 billion. That's billion dollars. All right, so imagine in 2006, you're one of these kids, right? You just got out of school. You just got the internship done. You've been hired on. You're the new guy at your firm. You got a little spending money. But all you know is that on the weekends, you got to be out building houses for Habitat for Humanity. And because this new internet thing has come along, you know, you're on 2006. So 2006 would be MySpace.
Yeah.
You'd be, you know, pimping out your cause. You'd be trying to recruit your friends and neighbors to that cause. And all of a sudden, one day, you wake up and you go, self, something's just not right. I'm missing something here.
I'm just not happy.
Yeah, you know, I've got the job that I wanted. I have the money that I want. I help people every day. But I just don't feel fulfilled. Right? So there's that, let's call it a hot 30 seconds of self-introspection.
30 seconds is not enough to get the job done.
But it's enough to get you on the right track to go, oh, well, you know what? This is a big job, and this is not an easy question.
Yeah.
So I need to go get some help. So in 2006, this you're going out and you're like, you know, I've got to make friends. Well, in 2006, you wanted to make friends. What were the anecdotal advice? What was mom's best thing, right? You meet all the good girls at church. You know, join a sports team, right? 2006, that was still the height. Oh, the company softball team is, you know, we practice on Fridays.
Dude, why are you bullshitting? Back in 2006, we started a soccer club.
We did, and it was fantastic.
And I think it's still around.
In a very diminished capacity, yeah. I don't think there's anybody in it that's still from our day.
Oh, no.
But no, they still line up at Dad's Field twice a week.
Fucking A.
But what I've noticed is a lot of them are the guys that work the local lawn crews, so they actually do it at like 9 in the morning.
That's awesome.
And I was like, I was tempted to go down there the other day and be kind of like the Tyler Durden, just walk in like, hey, you know. But gosh, can't
dude,
do it.
I'll go kick the ball around until I stroke out.
It won't take long.
It won't take long.
End of, well, you know, I'll just go ask somebody, right? So fast forward, let's fast forward. We'll fast forward to 2013. The internet has come a long way. MySpace is dead and gone, right? What's his name? Tom and like your grandma are the only people left on MySpace.
And that one band that's going to make it really big.
Oh, any day now. Yeah, any day now. It was the Demonic Hen folks on there. Yeah. But guys, if you're listening, hey, you still had a great album. It was fantastic. I don't care what anybody says. You should come back to the pub.
Yeah, you really should, Tony.
By 2013, right, he's become a little more bitter, a little more jaded. So he wants a solution. He wants satisfaction.
Well, let's face it, the clock's ticking on that.
Exactly. There's not a lot of time left, right? Especially if he's interested in, you know, someone of the opposite or someone of the same, anybody. If he's interested in a romantic relationship, if he's interested in any of that, well, by 2013, the whole concept of pickup artist has become an industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So from, you know, the guy on the Facebook ad who, you know, just click here below and I'll send you a PDF of all my tips. Pepper. But all you got to do is pay me $5 a month, and you get access to all of this content, and more importantly, people.
Remember that website?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was horny guys talking to horny guys with some bots.
So it was a whole bunch of people just like that.
Yeah, exactly. It was a whole bunch of people just like you in a community run by a couple of guys just like you who had downloaded every nudie pic off the internet they could find.
I have drained the internet of porn. I am now ready to pursue meaningful relationships with almost people.
And I'm going to dump all this in here. And I mean, let's face it. Most of these things are honeypots, right? They sound too good to be true and they're free. They're wrong. Sound too good to be true and they cost money. Oh, they're going to fuck you in a premium way. But
not the way you're hoping.
No, not the way you're hoping. Not the way you signed on for.
Right.
And my understanding is in the early days, there were people that were meeting folks off of Ashley Madison. But that's also the origin of the entire catfish thing, right? Yeah, I met this, you know, she's divorced and she's, you know, she doesn't have any kids and she's 6 foot tall and she weighs 120 pounds. And she's got a double D rack. And it turned out she was a 5 foot tall social studies teacher from the local elementary school with 3 kids and a mortgage. Who could
and
go
a
out,
husband that would really rather she got off the fucking internet.
Yeah, who could go out on Tuesday afternoon because the kids stayed after school and the husband went to bowling. But so as the industry came along, right, so now we're in 2013. Our mythical 30-something-year-old is still out looking for, you know, some kind of sign of what he wants to be when he grows up. Well, in 2013 now, this industry has gone from $9 billion to $11 billion. And there's no signs of stopping, right? It's snowballing out of control.
I think it's probably fair to extrapolate from that it's at least $13 billion right now.
It's a little over 14.
God damn.
Yeah. Well, because keep in mind, one of the things that doesn't reflect, right, when you start pulling these statistics off the internet, when they measure an industry, they tend to kind of take an abstract from the top performers of that industry, right? So Dale Carnegie wrote a book in 1930-something.
Right.
And it went over big. It's been republished over 30 times since then. But that work and his work after that, long past his death, has turned into a billion-dollar corporation.
Oh, yeah.
They're not just publishing those books. They're hosting seminars. They're teaching classes. You know, one of the greatest things for the self-help industry was the IT industry. because what the IT industry did was in an effort to use technology to train as many people as fast as they could, they created this whole boot camp experience using technology and the self-help people. It was better for them than the advent of YouTube was for pornographers. Right? It was, oh my God, we just jumped light years ahead.
Right.
So now you can go out, and it doesn't matter what. Our mythical student here, now middle-aged working guy, regardless of what, we'll call him Bo, because Bo helps.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what Bo wants. It doesn't matter if Bo wants to go out and get some ass of whatever variety he chooses. Or if Bo wants to lose some weight, or if Bo wants to build muscle, or if Bo wants to learn everything there is about 16th century art and blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter what he is, there is a niche industry that is waiting to sell it to him. And in that industry, there's going to be a top performer, a Carnegie Institute, Stephen Covey's, whatever it's called now. I think it's just the Covey Association or the Covey Foundation or whatever.
There's no telling, but I bet they're still offering planners to people.
Oh, certainly. And what's funny is they're like literally they're the Xerox of planners, right? When people go in, oh, I want no, it's like that one. It's leather and it's really nice and it's got the bindings, you know, with the Seven Habits thing. But it doesn't matter what he wants. Not only is there a huge corporation that's fighting with other corporations to be the top of that chain, there are now people that who their hobby is go home at night from their day job and sit down and create this content.
Okay, so it's weird, but the important thing here is that these are people looking for external validation of what meaning is, right? I wish to be a ladies' man, right? Well, what's that saying is that outwardly what they need to be is they need to be validated, I'm assuming sexually, by women. And to actually have that done, but more importantly and more immediately, they're going and seeking out this expert, as you would think they would do,
right.
But it's because they have no idea what it means, and they did not develop those skills when they were in high school to go ahead and because dating used to be very common, very de rigueur in high school.
Right.
It used to be very a normal thing. Not that everybody was out there fucking, because they weren't. But they were going and they were experiencing each other, at least socially, so they would know how to do it when they were fucking grown-ups.
Right. They were developing the skills they would need later in life to select a partner, or to select multiple partners, or to select a temporary cohabitant of the same space.
And now, flash forward, and what are kids doing in high school? Well, I don't know, man. I got to sell those candy bars. I don't know. I got to go work. I got to work part time at that battered woman shelter because it's going to look good on my college application.
Exactly.
Or
I've got to run 3 miles. Wait, you're on the track team? Well, no, I'm not on the track team. But a kid in my neighborhood is blind and he wants to run cross country. So now I run with him so that he can. So you're on the cross country team? Well, no, I'm not on the team. But you beat him every time because he's following you.
Wait a minute, because when you describe it like that, it makes that poor kid sound like he's somebody seeing eye honky.
That's exactly what he is. Exactly what he is. But no, I mean, but yeah, you're right. There's not often a grasp of anything else, right? We become so fixated on the target that we kind of lose track. And to be fair, this isn't a millennial problem. Right, the kind of the convergence of technology and free time and money and opportunities, all of that.
It's not exclusively a millennial problem, but it's a problem that if we don't get a handle on, if we don't start talking about, then it's going to perpetuate in Gen Z, I promise you.
Right, well, and so I would go so far as to say that we're kind of coming around full circle, right? Because now, we've talked about some of these, we've talked about the soup kitchen, we've talked about the Habitat for Humanity, those kinds of things. I would argue that those are good examples of helping your community. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. The problem that we're talking about here is not helping people. The problem we're talking about is developing the idea that the only way you can have value is helping people at the expense of learning enough about yourself to have value to yourself.
Well, and people, of course, we were joking earlier about about, you know, Jesus giving out tuna fish sandwiches and shit like that. But, I mean, it literally says somewhere in the Bible, and let's face it, because I'm an atheist, I have a very loose grasp of Scripture, so you can feel free to correct me. But there's something about you can't help other people until you pull shit out of your own eye. Or something like that.
Well, it's right. I mean, it's the give a man a fish, he eats for a day, teach a man a fish to fish, you know, so on and so forth. There's a million different examples of it, right? But there's also, you know, as with everything else these days, the fixation on it has kind of taken a bend for the bad, right? So now it's not enough to say that Bo volunteers three times a week at the soup kitchen. Bo has to make sure that you know that because he does that and you don't, he's winning, right? So we get this whole kind of this viral experience, right? We get hashtags and we get things like that, that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Oh, yeah.
All of that stuff, right? And it takes on this level of hate and exclusionary kind of nature that, well, if you're not doing this, then you're not worth my time.
Well, yeah, let's face it, especially now when people are looking to belong, one of the side effects of that is that they're also very quick to outroot people.
Right, and we've gone over that in season 3 and 4 on, you know, in multiple examples, so I don't want to beat that dead horse. But the fact of the matter is as it's becoming more prevalent, in the highly politically charged environment that we've existed in for the last couple of years, what's happening is we're starting to see the pendulum swing the other way. Not in the fact that Bo is becoming a little bit older and seeing the error of his ways, more so in the fact that Bo and his like are being so successful with their online branding and all of these things that their parents and grandparents are starting to pick up on this trend and are actually doing it better. Right? Folks from arguably very few Bo's have Gen X parents. We happen to be part of the exception in that. But the majority of these folks more than likely have boomer parents.
Okay.
The boomers have embraced it to a level that, I mean, literally no one thinks of a 29-year-old when they say Karen.
Right.
No one. Now, you might think of a 30-year-old when you hear Chad. Simply because Chad's a stupid name, and I can say that because I've got a name not far off from it. But the boomers, as with everything else that's happened in the last 30 years, are kind of co-opting the movement.
Well, keep in mind, they, in their own way, lived that life first. Remember, the boomers were
They lived it in their head. They talked it. They made a big show.
They shook it off when they turned 30, right. And they were like, holy shit, we got to get ourselves together.
We're going to change the world, but first I need a DVD player.
Exactly. First, I need to make partner at my firm. And all that weird hippie shit they did and all that
went right out the window. Yeah.
And blowing shit up on college campuses. They were like, whoo, that was fun. I should get a job.
And if you haven't listened to previous seasons, just know that our take on the boomers is they were great people until they traded in the weed for the Coke. Once that happened, the boomers were done.
No, they got a lot more productive.
Oh no! They made a fuck ton of money. I won't doubt that. I will give them that. They stayed high strung, but no. That we can. I think that we can all agree that the mellow, nice, Asia Toto listening, little sativa before bed, drinking wine out of a gallon jug, you know, donating money to Greenpeace. Those were the better boomers.
Wild dogs cry out in the night.
And there's our end credit music.
And then you go, get that fucking railing. You're like, girls, girls, girls.
Okay, first of all, no self-respecting boomer listened to Motley Crue. All right, that was purely a Gen X thing. And most of the Gen Xers simply forgot because they were high and they were blinded by the whole grunge thing. I'm not going to make a pro Motley Crue argument here.
Thank you.
But I will this season. All right. So at the end of the day, what we're talking about here is we're talking about doing things for others is not a bad thing. Doing things for others at the cost of not doing anything for yourself is. So what we're going to do this season is we are going to focus on ways that our mythological Bo could have corrected himself or could still correct himself now that we have to assume that he's about a 40-year-old, angsty, pissed off, middle-aged white guy. Hold on 1 second. We've got here it comes. Wait for it.
Somewhere right now, Bo Jackson is listening to this episode of the podcast going, I played two fucking sports. I was the best goddamn player in Tecmo Super Bowl. Why are you bagging on
me? And he was mentioned by name in Here Comes the Hot Stepper by Eddie Camozzi. So he's a hero of mine. Bo, if you're out there listening, I don't know why I came up with Bo. Should we change the name? We're going to use this guy all season. Should we change the name?
Bo's as good as any.
Bo is short for Bo Cephas. All right, that's how we're going to throw it.
Okay.
But that's kind of the take, right? So we're going to take this character through lots of different ways that he could have discovered something, he can still discover something, how he can still enact change. Along the way, we're going to establish a few guidelines. Let's call them unique to our show. Let's call them heavily branded by our personalities. So, if you're expecting the, hi, and welcome back to Fresh Air, that we started this episode with,
yeah,
that's not what you're going to get. You're going to get more of a, snap out of it, brother. I almost said snap into a Slim Jim, and that was the wrong voice for that. But no, it's going to be more of a kick in the nuts than it's going to be a hug as we do this, because that's just how we do things. So, if you're new, buckle up. If you're an established listener, thank you for coming back. I can't even remember all the shout-outs.
Oh, real
you
quick.
You got the shout-outs. Shout out for me.
hey, Barra. Hey, Araja. And, of course, always listen to Mark. And anybody else who picked this thing up from Pub or the Discord.
to any of my bitches, hit me up. Send me your notes. Give me your ideas. But like I said, it's going to be another season. We are going to try to stay within the hour mark. I'm going to keep a closer eye on the clock because the rat is not good with that. So we will try to keep it to an hour. We will try to fit it into your commute home, or at least your commute home and then finish us up in the morning. Because let's face it, we're much better in the morning. Before the sun comes up, oh, shit, we got you, brother. That's our time. But that's kind of what's on tap. If any of that sounds interesting to you, please come back next week. If it doesn't sound interesting to you, then I can guarantee you that we will at least attack two celebrities or famous people that you love. We will have one vehement argument about the something. What was last season? What did we go on and about last season?
I have no idea.
Season before that was Rose McGowan.
Oh, God.
Who is acting up again? We'll get into that in one of the later episodes because it fits right in. She's become a staunch Republican.
Oh God!
Because apparently getting felt up by Marilyn Manson turns you conservative. I think it's more than likely the social irrelevance that made her a Republican. But that's it for this week's folks. We will be back in a week with another episode, and we will follow Bo through his journey to becoming a better him. Until next week, I'm still Thundersnow.
And I'm still the Wiggle Rat.
Peace.